From The Athletic, I'm Jeff Schwartz, and today is the day. It is Tuesday before the draft. It is time for the Jeff Schwartz of Smarter Than You mock draft with the whole gang. Everyone's here, Gabe, Matt, and Zuri. We're going to have a lot of fun with this. Today is Tuesday, the 21st, and I'm so excited for this. We've been planning this for a couple weeks now to have the whole gang here doing a mock draft. If you guys want to go and find all your mock draft information, your big boards, your value picks, everything, go to athletic.com. Dane Brugler, Arif Hassan put together big boards, 300 prospects strong. There's mock drafts on there. There's team information as we get toward Thursday night. But let's kick this whole thing off. Gabe, how are we doing today?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. The Chargers have new uniforms. I'm talking to three of my favorite people. We're going to get a little Jets talk in today. This is going to be great.
Matt, you have the second pick, and we'll get to the mock draft. You have the Redskins today, and I know you're going to screw this pick up already.
Wow. Just because I follow the Redskins doesn't mean I am the Redskins, Jeff.
Well, glad to have you back on. And Zuri making his first appearance, I believe, on the podcast. The man behind the scenes. Welcome in, buddy.
It's good to be in front of the scenes. And don't get used to my voice because I won't be talking much. But ready to go.
All right. So here's how this is going to work. We're going to go 1 through 32. We're not doing trades. We talked about doing trades. It's not going to work. We're snake drafting this. We'll give you our pick. I'll talk about whether or not I think it's a good pick or not. And again, no trades. We'll see the shenanigans happen. I assume they will happen. I will start us off. It is my podcast. This is the easiest pick of all. Bengals number one. Joe Burrow out of LSU, the quarterback. Historic season last year in college football. While not the number one graded player on most big boards, that is Chase Young. He is a quarterback. He's the most valuable position in all of sports. He is an intense competitor. He is accurate as can be. He's a playmaker. Everything that you want a quarterback, he had that last year. Going to Bengals, even though he doesn't appear to want to be a Bengal, nonetheless, he's going there number one. That's what I'm picking with the first pick.
When was the last time anyone appeared to want to be a Bengal, Jeff? And is there any chance that they surprise us?
No one wants to be a Bengal. I can't see it. Look, I am obviously more of a Justin Herbert stan than most, having played at Oregon and watched all his snaps. I can't see that happening. You know, Tua, possibly, but the hip is a concern. I can't see them doing anything but taking Burrow, even though he doesn't want to play there too bad. I got to think it's Burrow no matter what.
And no Eli force trade situation, no Elway holdout type thing. This is just football time.
I mean, it's possible that Burrow does that, but I'm looking at the teams. I mean, who is – I don't know if he's able to force that. And if that was the case, the Bengals could already be working on some sort of trade. So, yes, it's possible that someone trades up. I mean, maybe the Patriots have saved all these draft picks for all the years to get themselves a quarterback that they love in Burrow or someone else. I can't really see a lot of teams – spending all this draft capital to move up and get Burrow when a lot of them have quarterbacks. There are too many quarterbacks. We've talked about this on the pod. There's too many quarterbacks that are available, right? Cam Newton's still available. Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton will be available on Thursday night. There's too many quarterbacks. I cannot see a team trading up with all their assets for Burrow outside of maybe the Patriots.
That is the sound of the number two pick to my favorite team, the Washington Redskins. They're relieved that the Bengals didn't do anything weird, and they're going to go with Chase Young here. Here are the main two reasons. First of all, new defensive coordinator, Jack Del Rio, Coach Von Miller, Coach Khalil Mack, and now with a new coach and a new GM in the building, they're going to go with the sure thing here, especially with the big second factor, which is the Redskins did not get a chance, really, to spend the amount of time they would need to spend to take a risk on drafting Tua. The doctors didn't get a chance to really evaluate him. They didn't even really get a chance to get to know Dwayne Haskins. Like, they don't have an advantage here. Let's go with the sure thing. Let's get Chase Young at the second pick. We feel great about it.
This has to be the pick here. I know that there is talk about them trading out of this pick. I can only imagine they do this if they still get to pick in the top 10. I'll tell you why. They could use a left tackle. You know this, Matt. I mean, Trent Williams wants out, and I think with Dwayne Haskins being so young, they could use a left tackle. This is a draft for them. So they can't move below 10, in my opinion, if they trade out of this. Because you still need to get yourself a day one impact starter at that position. So if you want to trade back, I'm okay with it, I guess. If you end up getting, you know, three starters instead of one Chase Young, in theory, that actually makes your team probably better. But if you're dropping past 10, you just can't do it. So Chase Young is an easy pick here. He's everyone's highest rated player. He's so impressive. The amount of, at his age, the pass rush ability to have multiple moves, to have counter moves, his strength, the way he finishes on his pass rushes, it's incredible. Easy number two pick for the Redskins.
All right, that means the Lions are on the clock, and they are using every single second of it to receive as many texts and phone calls as they can to possibly shop this pick. Now, we already know, or at least it's reported, that they're thinking about trading this pick. They know they got a valuable one, and they're the Lions, so they're weird. In the end, I don't think that they're going to get the offer they need to move out of this position, and then they will resist the urge to draft a wide receiver because we know they love doing that early in the first round. Instead, they're going to make the very safe choice, arguably the best player, the most NFL-ready player available. They're going with Jeff Okuda from Ohio State, the cornerback. He will be there to save Matt Patricia's job. He's a play-now guy. He can help that Lions defense. They lost Darius Slay in a deal. They need some help there. This will be the one that makes the fans happy. It's not a quarterback, but it's the right decision. It probably is the only way Matt Patricia keeps things going in Detroit is helping that defense.
Yeah, with Darius Slay gone and Jeff Okuda coming in, you're able to run maybe the defense you want, right? You need, if we've seen, you know, what he did in New England, what he wants to do in Detroit, a lot of man coverage. Okuda's that guy out of Ohio State. Ohio State goes 2 and 3 here. Makes a ton of sense for this to be the pick here. Okuda, 6'1", 205. And you mentioned they could trade out. I mean, there's possibility of talk of you know, Tua coming up to 3 if someone wants to trade for him. This is the easy pick right here. I'm all for this.
They've also, by the way, or we, I should say, we also have 8 other picks in the draft. We're loaded with picks. So we're hearing all calls, and we could package, you know, bundle up a few picks if people are interested. But I think in the end, the 3, it comes down to whether or not Tua is in play, and I think they stick with it and they go with Okuda, like you said.
All right, the Giants on the clock. First of all, I want to applaud our cohorts in Detroit for the pronunciation on Jeff Okuda there. We really
thank you.
We really thank do you. Enjoy that here in New York. We took Daniel Jones with the 6th pick last year. A lot of people thought we might have grabbed him a little too early. So we're going to keep him upright. And we're going to go to the offensive line. We're going to take Jedrick Wills out of Alabama.
Wills is the most ready player right now to play offensive line, in my opinion. He is physical. He has really good technique to play, be a multiple-year starter at Alabama at the power that he had to face each and every week, the speed at that defensive end position. This is a great pick for the Giants. You put him at right tackle. You know you have Nate Solder over there at left. I think you just leave him at right tackle. You'll let him play. We know, guys, that the right tackle position is supremely important in the NFL, right? It is hugely important to keep your quarterback upright, having a right and left tackle. It's okay to draft a right tackle 4th. I love this pick. Good job, Giants. For once, good job, Dave Gettleman.
All right, Miami's on the clock. I know a lot of people in the media want us to take Tua. I know a lot of people in our fan base want him. But we were dead last in rushing yards last year, and our longest completed pass went for 51 yards. So we want a big arm. And we're going to the Pacific Northwest, and we're getting your boy, Jeff. Justin Herbert, welcome to Miami.
Oh, Herbert, I love it. People will be fired up on this pick. So the thing about Herbert, and this is I'll just say this. I wrote about him. If you want to go to SBNation.com and look it up, go to my Twitter, whatever you want to do, go ahead and look for it, because I've talked about him all the time, profusely. Here's the thing with Herbert. He has flaws, obviously. But for some reason, we don't talk about him like he has upside, which is surprising because we talk about other quarterbacks in the same way. We act like Herbert can't get better because he went to Oregon. Well, guys, he didn't play with pro wide receivers at Oregon. He wasn't in an offense that suited him. Every person who talks about Oregon's offense, Mina Kimes just tweeted about it the other day. She said, ew, Oregon's offense is not very good, right? Like, ugh, disgusting. It was something along those lines. If you read stuff about Herbert, everything is caveated with the Oregon offense did not suit him. The Oregon offense wasn't good. So I don't understand why there's no thought at all that he can't get better in the NFL. He's not a sure thing, of course, no one is, but I'm rooting for Herbert, and I hope he does well.
Wow. Okay. So the Chargers are on the clock and suddenly their mind starts racing. They had a plan, but Tua just got to the sixth and they're thinking, oh boy, this is potentially our franchise quarterback. Our fan base would like this. They are tempted. They're also listening to that phone ring and reading all those texts or hopefully tapping other people's Zooms. They're interested. This pick could move. But in the end, they remind themselves, cooler heads prevail, and they say, guys, we had a plan. Don't reach for Tua. Draft an offensive lineman. We'll go sign Cam later. Some guy named Schwartz has been talking about this on a podcast for weeks. He's right. Let's go with the best lineman we can find. Let's put some big fat guy in our brand new jerseys. And they go with, obviously, Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa. Tristan Wirfs.
all right. So Wirfs is going to be a great pro, but I think this pick would have been better spent on Mekhi Becton from Louisville, who
it was a close call.
Wirfs is not really going to play left tackle in the NFL, and the Chargers need specifically a left tackle. And Becton's going to play left tackle in the NFL. And that's the thing about Wirfs is whoever drafts Wirfs, I don't think you put him at left tackle. He can be an all-pro guard. He can be a right tackle. But I think Wirfs or Andrew Thomas are the two true left tackles in this draft. Nonetheless, it's not a bad pick. He can play guard or – no, you put him at left tackle. You just signed Brian Bulaga. Now, here's the thing about the no-trade situation that we talked about earlier, guys, is that with Tua dropping past six, and I think in the actual draft, someone will trade up and grab him soon. Now, we're not doing that here, so it's gonna throw the draft off a little bit maybe. But there's a real possibility, in my opinion, that right now, if this breaks this way, with the Chargers taking off at the tackle, we're going to get a trade-up for Tua. But we're not doing that here. So, Matt, you're up next.
All right, so picking seventh are the Carolina Panthers, who can't believe that Tua is still here. I think this is probably a slot where, with a new head coach, you would see a trade if Tua is here in this scenario. But we're not doing trades, so let's go with the most obvious pick here. The Panthers had a terrible defense last year, so why not get a defender who can play every defensive position? Give me Isaiah Simmons out of Clemson. When asked at the combine what position he plays, he said defense. When he was at Clemson, he played corner, linebacker, defensive end, and safety. The Panthers lost Luke Kuechly, Dontari Poe, Gerald McCoy, and they already had a terrible defense last year, so this is a huge upgrade for them. If they don't trade this one, I would give them Isaiah Simmons. Thoughts?
So, the one thing I will say, and I've said this before about Isaiah Simmons, maybe not here, but I've mentioned this before. I think you have to have an exact plan for him, because you need to make sure that you don't spend like a couple years figuring out what position he's going to play in the NFL. Like, I think in my opinion, you need to know, okay, if I draft him, he's playing outside linebacker for us. He's playing safety. Now, he can move in the defense by game plan. But if you have the idea of we're just going to draft him and figure it out, I think you could waste a couple of years figuring that out. And that the value in that pick is not there. So if the Panthers draft him or anyone else, make sure you have an actual plan for Simmons when he is drafted so you can go ahead and do that. All right. The Cardinals have a need, in my opinion, at offensive line. They have a need at edge rusher. They have a need kind of a couple places. But right now, the value is an offensive lineman. And the offensive lineman that they need, in my opinion, is Mekhi Becton out of Louisville. He dropped here in our draft. He'll probably go maybe a little higher than this. But nonetheless, Becton is a kid who is powerful. He is strong. He is quick. He's giant human. you can't teach the type of finish that he has in his game at any level. And so you bring that to the Cardinals, you put him at left or right tackle, you can move Humphreys over if you want. He has the highest potential, in my opinion, of this offensive line class to be a great, and I would put him right here on the Cardinals. I'm Jacksonville right now at 9. I see that Tua Tagovailoa has dropped here. And again, I'm assuming that someone trades up if he drops past 6 to grab him. Possibly the Patriots. Who knows? Right now, the Jaguars have Gardner Minshew as their quarterback. He's an okay quarterback. He's okay. He's not going to be a superstar. He's not a guy that you can, in my opinion, build your entire team around. There are other needs that you have. But in my opinion, if Tua's here at 9, you cannot pass him up. If you're Jacksonville, you're going to draft Tua. That's my pick.
Let's unpack that a little bit. Like, let's say that what we're guessing at is actually, like, really what happens. Let's just say that, and this is a real thing, that maybe all the technology is kind of funky and, like, everyone's heads are spinning. And maybe there are no draft day trades. And you'll probably tell me that wouldn't make any damn difference, but phones work either way. But let's just imagine there are no trades. Really, though, he does slip to this point, right? Like, Jacksonville is thrilled, I got to imagine. This is a scenario that we could see.
They would be unbelievably excited.
So what makes you sure that it won't happen?
Well, I think that someone, if he slipped past 6, that someone would trade up with Carolina, who can use as many draft picks as possible to kind of rebuild their team, and they would take that trade at 7, and you would have someone draft Tua.
So 7, 8, 9 would be like the obvious pee break period of time in this draft under normal circumstances. There's nothing to watch there. But if Tua slips, this becomes like thrilling. There's going to be all kinds of trades in this area. This is going to be big, big movement if Tua hasn't already gone off the board.
Agreed. It's going to be wild. If this scenario happens, it's going to be, sorry for that, it's going to be absolutely insane. They're going to be a rush. It's going to be a rush to call Carolina to trade up, in my opinion, to get that pick.
All right, so the Browns here are a little disappointed that there was a run on tackles because it seems pretty obvious that they're going to pick one of them. They've missed out on 3 already in the top 10. So they're going to go with the 4th tackle on the board, who I have as Andrew Thomas. I'm curious what Jeff thinks about that. He looks like he could play at multiple positions on the line. He's a big dude, 6'5" out of Georgia. I'm having a hard time distinguishing between tackles, but I'm pretty sure the Browns are going to take one if they stay in this slot. Jeff, is that the right one?
Yes, this is great. Andrew Thomas, tackle out of Georgia. Inconsistent hand usage, but really good feet, really good base, really good power. The Browns have an outstanding offensive line coach in Bill Callahan, who works wonders. You saw last year in Washington, he made Ereck Flowers a good player, right? I mean, like, he is a very good offense. Everywhere he's been a great offensive line coach. This would be a great, great pick for the Browns because he is a day one starter right now at left tackle, which is what you need if you're the Browns. And if you decided the Browns here to go with a wide receiver, you can go try to trade for Trent Williams or pick up Jason Peters. But nonetheless, Matt, great pick here with the Browns, Andrew.
Can I add one thing here? Last year, the Browns starting tackles were Greg Robinson and Chris Hubbard. Now they could have Andrew Thomas and Jack Conklin with Bill Callahan. That's a pretty huge upgrade.
It's a giant upgrade. I mean, you know, their current left tackle is in federal prison. So this is a huge upgrade. Anything would be a better upgrade.
All right, the Jets are on the clock. Listen, I am actually having like a real panic attack here as a Jets fan because this was not supposed to happen, okay? The Jets had one game plan going into this draft. First of all, they're idiots for getting themselves to the 11. They should be drafting like 3rd overall, but they accidentally won half the games in the last half of the season. So now they're drafting at 11. There should be a top 3 offensive tackle slipping to them at 11, but in this mock draft, that hasn't happened, okay? So now, here they are, the Jets, who have basically said, all we care about is rebuilding our offensive line. That's what the new GM is all about. They were the worst at blocking for the run and the pass. They suck bad, and their quarterback can't do anything unless he's blocked for. All they need is offensive line, and there are no offensive linemen left anymore. So the Jets are going to start to panic the way I am, and they're going to get totally out of whack, and they're going to do what they keep on doing. It seems like every year since Rex turned up, and they're going to go for a defensive line guy to clog up the middle when they've already got a few of those guys. So now all of a sudden, Derek Brown is coming off the board. I don't think the Jets need this guy. They need a lineman. Maybe they could teach him how to block and switch him to the other side of the ball. But Derek Brown for the Jets, help me God. Jeff, what is happening?
Okay, so I think he's the best player probably on the board. So if you go best player available, he's your guy right now. If the draft unfolds like this, and we see Wills, Wirfs, and Becton gone at 8, you know, Jacksonville at 9, who I took with Tua, could be open for a trade. The Jets trade up to 9, grab yourself an offensive tackle. But the Jaguars, if they don't want to, could use offensive tackle too. You have to hope, if you're the Jets, and I agree, you need an offensive lineman, that the Giants go with Simmons, the Panthers are surely going to draft defense, so they'll draft Derek Brown, and you'll have one of the guys left to pick from. So Derek Brown's not ideal for the Jets, but he's the best player still on the board. I can also see a scenario here where the Jets trade out of this pick. I mean, like, yes. I think if they're at 11 and there's not an offensive tackle here, you could trade back in the back end of the first round and get yourself, you know, Josh Jones from Houston, who I think is the next one up in line. It'd be too early to draft at 11. So they would have to do some maneuvering here at 11 if this scenario unfolded.
This feels like every second round pick I always make in fantasy, where like I had all these dreams of guys making it to me and none of them did because all my friends read the same stuff I do. And now I'm just freaked out and I'm like slamming beers and I don't know what to do. And I take some guy I instantly hate. That's what the Jets are going to do if they don't figure out a way to trade this. Just a stat that I'd like you guys to know that Joe Douglas certainly knows, the GM in New York. The Jets averaged 0.7 yards prior to contact per running play last year. That's the worst in the NFL. That means Le'Veon Bell is praying they get him a lineman, assuming he's going to show up this year. And they also allowed pressure in 2.5 seconds or less on pass plays over a quarter of the time. That was second worst in the league. They suck at blocking, okay? This is the only thing that they can do. Sam Darnold isn't good, and he looks much worse because of that line. So please figure something out, Jets.
I was looking forward to Darnold. I thought he was going to be better in the NFL. I don't think he is. I think he's not.
He stinks.
Yeah, on that note, the Las Vegas Raiders are on the clock for the first time ever. This draft is supposed to be in Vegas, so I feel like we're owed a compensation pick or something, but we won't hold our breath. We gave away Amari Cooper basically a couple years ago. We have a big hole to fill at wide receiver. Let's go back to Alabama. Let's grab Jerry Jeudy. Let's cash in Vegas, and let's win a Super Bowl.
Love the pick. It's the right pick to make, in my opinion, here. Raiders fans, you guys have got to get better arguing on Twitter, by the way. Y'all are bad at it, just FYI. But nonetheless, look, I think you could choose between CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy. There's no wrong pick here. It depends on kind of what you like in your wide receiver. You know, Jeudy is just a kind of a quick strike guy. You know, if you look, he doesn't have kind of the ideal body for a big play wide receiver, but nonetheless, who cares, man? He just makes plays, and that's all that matters here. So I like the pick, sir. Good job.
Hey, Jeff, I do have one actual question. Is there any chance that tight ends can take wide receivers under their wing in the NFL? For instance, Jason Witten. How much impact can he have on a young wide receiver, and how much carryover does he have?
So it's a good question. I would say that the way he can help him is just teaching him what to look for on film. Like, hey man, this is what they're doing to you. This is what they're trying to do to you. Here's what they're like that type of. He's not going to help him with probably his route tree and the concept of the plays. But he'll be able to help him, and I think, with learning how to watch film, learning what to look for, learning what you need to do to be the best player you can be. That's where I think the veteran leadership of Wynn will pay off.
All right, Niners on the clock. You know who we are. We just played in the Super Bowl. A lot of people want us to take a wide receiver, but we don't really care about offense. We care about defense. Trayvon Diggs out of Alabama, he's still there. We only had 12 picks on defense last year. Yeah, I know he's not exactly a ball hawk, but we might be able to coach him up here in San Francisco. Bring us another corner. We want Trayvon Diggs at Alabama.
Wow, this is a surprising. There's other corners, I think, ahead of him. But there's going to be someone who decides to make a surprise pick here. And it feels like you've just done it, Zuri.
Hey, this is not on accident, maybe.
I talked about in an article yesterday, like surprise picks. And I was wondering who would be the first one. Dane Brugger has him 33rd on his big board. But, you know, he makes plays, which is he says here his read and react skills and athleticism allow him to get away with some technique. So you're, to your point, you have great coaching in San Francisco. You let him grow into that role. I trust you here.
GM knows defensive backs in San Francisco. I like this.
He does.
All right, with the 14, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on the clock.
Boo.
This pick is being made via FaceTime from a park somewhere in Tampa Bay where Tom Brady is sitting isolated, not following rules, because why does he need to? He's different than the rest of us. Listen, this pick is obviously all about proving to Tom Brady that they're serious about him being in town. The problem is the same problem the Jets just had. There are no offensive linemen left right now because there was a big run on them in the top 10. That's all Tom Brady wanted. They know they can't please him by dropping all the way down to some guy from Houston who belongs at the end of the first round. So they're going to have to go ahead and convince Tom that they need a wide receiver, even though they've already got two good ones. They got to do anything to try to show Tom they're serious about making Tampa better. So they go ahead and make a reach here and pick up CeCe Lamb, knowing he's the best player out there and praying that Tom will be happy about all his new weapons. CeCe Lamb, that's the pick.
Yeah, this is tough because just like the Jets, you kind of been stuck. It's, by the way, CD Lamb.
Yeah, exactly.
And
for the record, Tom Brady is not learning his name ever, okay? He's calling him whatever his jersey number is from now till the end of his career.
His name is not, obviously, his first name is not CD. It's like, I heard it the other day. His coach said his name was too long to pronounce. So they just shortened it because he was going to be so good. It's like a great story. It's Sadarian. So his coach is this is on a podcast. I heard this. I'm assuming it's true. I don't know. Maybe not. That his first name is Sadarian. And his coach, as a youth football coach, said, "Hey, man, you're going to be so good. People will know your name. You have to shorten Sadarian. It's like too long for people to say." So he went with CD.
Yeah. That's okay. Tom Brady isn't going to bother learning Sadarian or CD. He's just going to call him like 82 or whatever his number is. Do you think that this could actually happen, that they go wide receiver here? Because that's the best player on the board by far.
Yeah. I it's interesting because just like you, I think they would reach for Josh Jones here or try to trade down or possibly go like Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina, the D tackle who, you know, the people kind of think he's kind of a raw Chris Jones. They could go chase on the DN from LSU as well. We know last year they rushed a passer okay with Shaq Barrett and JPP.
Yeah.
They need offensive tackle in the worst way here. They're kind of stuck. I mean, just like the Jets are. I don't know what they would do here. And I think just you add more weapons for Brady is never a bad thing, and this is the spot to do it. And so, yeah, Lamb is the best player left to add as a weapon. I do it.
All right. Well, one team that's not happy about this run at wide receiver are the Denver Broncos. John Elway this week said this exact quote, "We do need a wideout." So I don't think there's a ton of suspense for what they're going to be looking at in the first round. But the guy that they wanted this whole time is still there. They're going with Henry Ruggs III out of Alabama, who ran a 4.27 40. They've already got a big wide receiver in Cortland Sutton. He's going to be your number one guy. And they just have nightmares of watching Tyreek Hill scorch them over and over and over. So let's get the next best thing. Let's go with the fastest receiver in the draft. give the Broncos Ruggs.
Like this pick, you need to continue to have players that can help Drew Lock, and this is a guy that can do it. He can absolutely fly. I think this is a good pick for the Denver Broncos. I like it. I believe that is my turn to draft for the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta has a couple options here. They could go with a defensive lineman, an edge rusher here, a defensive tackle. They could go with a cornerback here as well. I'm going to go edge rusher. I'm going to choose Chase On from Louisville. He's raw. Raw is the wrong word. He's not refined as a rusher yet. He's a little bit undersized, but he's very twitchy. He's very athletic. I think he could do multiple things with them in their scheme, and they need just some edge rusher. I would argue maybe C.J. Henderson here, the defensive back, is a possibility depending on where they have him on the board. This is just straight, in my opinion, for Dan Quinn and Thomas Amicho. This is a straight best player available situation. I'll go with Chase On. I don't know where they're ranked at. I could see C.J. Henderson here as well for this pick. I have the next pick with the Dallas Cowboys. Their edge rusher's gone, who they need. So they continue to need cornerback. Byron Jones is gone. Best cornerback still left on the board, C.J. Henderson out of Florida. Most people have him anywhere between like 10 and 15th. Best player, Dane Bluger from The Athletic, has him 13th right now. I would use this pick right now to pick up a player who can fill in right now because Byron Jones left. C.J. Henderson from Florida is the pick.
Is there any chance the Cowboys do something weird? Obviously, they've got player they could possibly need on offense except figuring out that quarterback situation. But is there any chance that we see them making headlines?
At this spot, I mean, there always is the chance that happens. I just don't know who that guy would be. I mean, maybe they take a different defensive back. Maybe they reach for an edge rusher.
How about Justin Jefferson?
Maybe they take Justin Jefferson. I mean, like, there's other options. I just think that for them, defense is more important right now than is offense. Again, we're getting in kind of the best player available territory where it's just kind of where your draft board sits. Because right now, all these teams, you know, they're typically winning teams. And they have, you know, they have little holes here and there. But also, that player might not be available. So just take the next guy. It's so interesting to me how, and I can go find examples, actual examples, but how often someone takes the best player available in this situation. It's already at a position that sort of you have covered, and then that guy gets hurt or that guy leaves, and boom, you slide the rookie in. It happens all the time. So best player available at this point in the draft is the way I think most teams will go.
All right, so the next pick at 18 is the Miami Dolphins. It's their second of three first-round picks. Here's the thing with the Dolphins. We just drafted with another GM. We had a GM switch from pick 5 to 18. Another GM picked us Justin Herbert, so that's great for us. We've got our quarterback of the future. But last year, we were last in sacks allowed and last in rushing, so we neither threw nor passed well. We need help on the offensive line. I know that everyone's talked about how there's been a run on offensive linemen, and maybe it's because our boss is a former offensive lineman. But you know what? The Dolphins guy is still there. They're going to pick Isaiah Wilson out of Georgia, who is he's 6'6". He was a top 10 projected pick coming into this season. But the real reason that the Dolphins like him is because he went to the same high school as Brian Flores, the head coach. How about that for a draft nugget? Out of, Brooklyn? Somewhere in Brooklyn. Poly Prep. So hometown tie for the coach and the offensive tackle. The Dolphins get their guy at number 18, Isaiah Wilson.
Very interesting here. Isaiah Wilson might have the most boom or bust potential for offensive linemen. So I've talked about this. I'll just repeat it really shortly, quickly. He is a raw player with a little bit of technique issues, and I always worry in the NFL it's hard to develop those guys because you just don't have practice time. He fits in that mold, but you need offensive linemen. I'm okay with this pick. I think the Jones kid is better and can play right now, but the upside here is quite high.
And that guy just didn't go to the right high school.
That's what it was. You're right.
All right, the Raiders are now on the clock thanks to that trade with Chicago. I think it was the Mac trade. That's how the Raiders are sitting at 19 here instead of the Bears. For however we got here, here's what's interesting. All right, the Raiders are set up to draft remotely like the rest of us. Coach is fired up. Here's the problem. He does his classic line, right? Knock twice if you're with me. Dislodges the USB port, okay? can no longer be heard.
Oh no.
He wants another wide receiver. He's so fired up about the Jerry Jeudy pick earlier in the first round. He wants another wide receiver. He's just yelling. He's like, "Does anyone hear me? Am I on mute?" He's banging on his keyboard. Nobody's listening. In fact, they're pleased not to have to listen to coach because of course they don't need more help on offense right now. They need the best defensive player available. So they just ignore coach. They don't worry about the USB. They ignore his phone calls and they just do the right thing, which is Javon Kinlaw out of South Carolina. Lineman, Jeff, right pick, right?
I think it's the right pick here because it's the best player, in my opinion, still on the board. If you look at who's been taken, makes a ton of sense here. Interior pass rusher. You need all the help you can get on defense on that side. I like this pick. Good job, Raiders. Good job, Raiders. No one ever says that.
Right. Jags are on the clock. We have our quarterback. We have Tua. Very excited about that. We kind of just want a guy that wants to play in London because we know we're going to be there every year and maybe even more so going forward. So we're just screening guys who have passports at this point. But speaking of curveballs, we might zig when other guys are zagging. We want a running back, and I see a big name on the board here still. we're going Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin.
No! And,
we don't know Fournette. We don't really know where Fournette's going to be. We got a young quarterback. We want a young tailback. We're going to just go with this youth movement. And that's my pick, and I'm sticking with it.
Sorry, what are you doing? Why?
Hey,
you're just trying to trade Fournette.
Sometimes you got to, go with your gut, guys. And this is what it's telling me.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm laughing so hard because Matt's laughing so hard in the background. It's just a bad pick. I don't know what to say. This is just not – it's not
– Are there...
Hopefully you redeem yourself with the Eagles pick.
Okay. Well, we'll see. All right. Eagles are on the clock. We just won a Super Bowl, and all of our fans still hate us. We don't really know what to do here. I'm talking to Lurie. Roseman's to my left. It doesn't really matter who we pick here because you guys are going to hate him anyways. I heard Justin Jefferson a minute ago, and that's exactly who we had our eye on. We want the next wideout that fans are going to denigrate after we win a Super Bowl. I'm looking at you, Nelson Aguilar. Justin Jefferson, welcome to Philadelphia.
This is the pick you have to make. I'm with you here. This one I like. Good job here. I'll take this.
Devastating for the Vikings picking next.
Oh boy. Someone didn't mute on the league Zoom and they just said exactly what we're feeling. That is devastating because remember, we got rid of Stephon Diggs. Our whole mindset going into this draft was a Pro Bowl wide receiver is going to slide to us, even though we have a good team and we're drafting way down in the first round. Like a top 10 wide receiver is available to us this year, except apparently no, it isn't. So we're freaking out. And just like has happened in the past with the Vikings, we run out of time. We don't even get a pick in. But Roger Goodell, being the evil genius that he is, cooks up some scheme to blame it on the technology fails, which, by the way, to this point in the draft, haven't even happened. Weirdly enough, the ESPN and NFL guys keep everything on the tracks. There's been no technical glitches until this pick. And then Goodell says, technical glitch, to buy the Vikings a little more time as they scan their board and try to figure out what the hell to do with no wide receivers left. They just do the only thing they can think, which is make an already good defense even better for the reasons Jeff described. Best player available by their assumptions right now, Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma, linebacker.
I don't even know if this pick honestly fits what they need or not.
They're freaking out in Minnesota. Nothing's working.
I mean, they're probably over the moon for a linebacker, I guess. But I would cornerback, you got to find your way to get yourself a cornerback. Jalen Johnson from Utah would be, I think, the pick here. But now Jalen Johnson will be somewhere else. So this is a very panicked pick. So it is on par with if you're panicking, this is how you do it.
All right. This is going to be a momentous pick here, guys, because the New England Patriots are up at number 23. Now, even if the time had elapsed on the Vikings, which would probably be Kirk Cousins' fault somehow, right? The Patriots would likely trade down because that's what they do here. But they're not going to trade down. But I can tell you that even if they do trade down, their first pick is going to be a quarterback. And their first pick isn't going to be any quarterback. It's going to be Jalen Hurts. Ooh. From Oklahoma and Alabama. So Here's my thinking here. You don't move on from Tom Brady to go draft a project, which would be Jordan Love, or a Jacob Eason, who's just like a big dopey version of, you know, his best case scenario would be a big dopey version of Tom Brady. Bill Belichick likes guys from winning programs. He likes quarterbacks that don't turn it over. Last year, Jalen Hurts, 3,850 yards, 32 touchdowns, 8 picks. He's also a completely different quarterback from Tom Brady. He played some wide receiver. He is very adaptable, which are all things that Bill Belichick likes. He's also a winner. He started at Alabama as a true freshman. Think about what that means when you have Nick Saban as a head coach. He's played in national championships games. He has Patriot written all over him. If they picked him here, I think everyone would say what a great pick it was. I'm assuming they'll slide down and pick him at some point. But that's who I think the Patriots are going to take. What do you guys think?
Well, the issue I have with doing this so early is that he's probably not going to be a great starting quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion. I think teams are going to use him more like Taysom Hill. Maybe they use him like an extreme Taysom Hill where he gets more plays at quarterback than does Taysom Hill. I cannot see Belichick drafting a player to play quarterback in this spot who is not going to be, in my opinion, a bona fide star at that position in the NFL. I can't see him drafting kind of like a Swiss Army knife with 23 when you could get Jordan Love at some other point in the draft, maybe. But even you could even get Hurts, I think, in the second round. Like, I don't think you need to get him right here to make that pick.
Well, I did disclaimer this and say that I do think they'll move back, but I will say this. This is the same criticism you had of Lamar Jackson last year. And here's Jalen Hurts, who last year had 1,300 rushing yards, 20 rushing touchdowns. He is a very, very good dual-threat quarterback.
They're not the same quarterback, though. And I want to say one thing about – they're not even close, by the way. I want to say one thing about that. This – everyone says – and I don't really know where this comes from because there's no evidence to back it up. Everyone always says that the Patriots want something different at quarterback. They want this mobile quarterback, this guy who can move, and this guy can do more stuff. I need to see evidence of that. Where is the evidence? Because they have drafted, and you could say that, look, they've drafted the guy that fits the system they have. And that's a fair argument. But they draft the same pocket passer every 3 years to back up Tom Brady. They have shown no creativity whatsoever at that position. They don't take out Brady to run a wildcat. They don't do anything. And I'm supposed to be convinced that Bill Belichick wants to do something like different. I have not seen, like, they just signed Brian Hoyer. If they want to do something different, they want to sign a quarterback that can move. So I don't believe that they want to do this hybrid offense. I have seen zero proof ever of them ever wanting to do this, ever.
Which is exactly why they're going to do it, Jeff. You know that this whole season is just to spite Tom Brady. That's the only thing that matters in New England is, can we do better than the Tampa Bay Bucks? Can we make our fans realize that it was Belichick and Kraft this whole time and not that old guy who's playing in parks down in Florida? I think that this would be such a statement move to go in a completely different direction. You don't think Josh McDaniels can draw up a read option? Like, come on.
You can, but I don't see it. So, all right, we'll move on from here because we got a lot more to go. The Saints don't have a ton of needs, but linebacker is one of them. And the best player left on the board is Patrick Queen, linebacker from LSU. He is fast. He can run. He fits kind of the overall identity of what a linebacker needs to be now, which is a mobile guy that can move. And this just kind of best player available and it's a position you need. Patrick Queen right in there. Perfect pick for me.
Does he have a good comp, Jeff?
New Orleans, LSU. I like it. Fans will know him.
Another LSU kid. I don't know who's I don't have a great comp for him.
Jeff hates comps, Zuri. Yeah, you're triggering him every chance you get. You drafted a running back. Now you're telling him to make comps. I mean, Ford is picking Jalen Hurts. Jeff's probably going to jump off. Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Minnesota needs a defensive back in the worst way. The best guy available is Jalen Johnson at Utah. He is a prototypical lockdown man coverage corner in the NFL. He is from a well-coached organization in Utah. He is going to be a star in the NFL. It's a perfect spot for him here. Jalen Johnson, who now, so now the Vikings have drafted Kenneth Murray and Jalen Johnson in this draft. Two great pieces to add to their defense. They've done a good job.
No love for Antoine Winfield Jr. there?
No, Jalen Johnson's better.
Even though they
I know the connection there. I know the connection's there, but not this early in the draft.
Fans could just reuse their old jerseys.
They sure enough. I don't know how many fans will have Antoine Winfield jerseys.
All right, so the Dolphins are back. I feel like every pick is the Dolphins. So again, the Dolphins have just the worst offensive line of all time. They have their offensive tackles before this draft were Julian Davenport and Jesse Davis. Now they have Isaiah Wilson, and let's throw in Austin Jackson. He's out of USC. The reason I like him is for the Dolphins. The thing with the Dolphins, they're not going to be good anytime soon. So they're going to take the best guy who is he's 20 years old. So he's got a lot of time to grow. He missed a whole offseason because he was donating bone marrow to his sister. Sounds like a good guy. He's got a lot of room to grow, but so do the Dolphins. I like them going with Austin Jackson here.
Matt, you chose the two offensive linemen that need the most work to get ready to play, in Austin Jackson and in Isaiah Wilson for your Dolphins. Look, the same point stands for Jackson as Wilson. It just he needs time to develop. Is there time in the NFL now to develop these guys? I'm not quite sure. But you improve the offensive line, which is a big need of yours coming into this draft. So I'm not going to knock you for it.
All right. The Seahawks are on the clock. That yell heard over the NFL Zoom during the previous pick was them, specifically Pete Carroll, reacting to the guy he wanted off the board. He wanted Austin Jackson. He wanted a Trojan. For the same reasons Jeff is dumping on the Trojan, Pete likes Trojans. He would have made that guy into a lineman to prove to his quarterback, Russell Wilson, there's still a few good years of standing upright in this town left for you. But with very few offensive linemen available, they're scrambling in Seattle. They need to go with a replacement for Jadeveon Clowney in case that doesn't get done between now and Thursday. So, unfortunately for their GM, they have to try to pronounce this player's name. And they do their best when they take Yetur Gross-Matos out of Penn State. Edge rusher.
You nailed it.
Okay.
Good job.
All right. That's their pick.
Yeah. I might have just taken the Jones kid from Houston. I do not know why he has not been drafted yet.
It would have been easier for them to say, but they went with Yetur Gross-Matos.
Is he from Lithuania? Like, what's his deal?
The NBA draft?
He's from somewhere else. So... I guess they need a defensive end. He's probably the best one there.
You know, I was thinking Patrick Queen here for the Ravens. We have a nice history of scary linebackers here in Baltimore. We want to continue that. But more importantly, we want to give our quarterback another threat downfield because we think that he still has some doubters out there. And we're looking at T. Higgins and Clemson. We know they make great players, and we think T. Higgins is going to put us over the top and actually get us to the Super Bowl next year.
I like this pick because he is a big player, and I feel like I'm talking about size, and I feel like the size is something that you need on this team. Like, you don't have that big wide receiver. You have fast wide receivers, but you kind of need that big red zone wide receiver. So this, I think, would be a great pick to help the offense.
All right. Tennessee Titans on the clock here. We're gonna make this one quick. You know that we re-signed our quarterback. You know that we brought our running back on a franchise tag. And you know we need help on the D-line. So we're going to go with AJ Epenesa out of Iowa. There's no way that this is a bad pick. There's no way.
No, this is a very good pick. You need an edge. You need any sort of pass rush. You trade away KC. I like this pick here. It's much better than going with Jordan Love, who I think people are considered in this spot. Maybe someone on the show, maybe not. Nonetheless, I like this pick. Good job.
All right, same page.
All right, at the 30th pick, the Green Bay Packers are on the clock. And you just heard Jeff mention a name that the viewers have been looking at all night long. That's right, in the virtual green room. Ever since the early picks of quarterback in Tua Herbert and, of course, Burrow, we've been staring at one guy sitting in his living room. That's Jordan Love. And he's been sweating on mute. And he's been wondering, I heard I was going to be a top five pick. I heard I might be the number one guy on some people's board. I heard I was the future. What happened? And he watched a few teams that need quarterback not take him, and he slid and he slid and he slid. And he got to the 30th pick, and the Packers, 15 years later, looked at each other. And they said, wait a second. Let's repeat history. Let's go for the Pac-12 guy who's got everything we need. Let's bring him in here. Let's let him be tutored by the Hall of Famer. Of course he'll play nice, just the way Favre did. Let's get Jordan Love with the 30th pick. Let's rebuild for another 15-year run. He's the future in Green Bay. He goes at 30.
So we have another Favre-Roger situation.
Yes.
I don't hate this pick. So I'd be okay with this. It would definitely light up Aaron Rodgers. Oh boy, it'd be incredible. I'm for this. Kind of fun.
I think that the new GM, it's this exact same scenario. Literally, it's the same exact thing. It's a new GM who realizes he's at the end of a run with a Hall of Famer. The coach is going to realize, hey, if I win another couple years with Rodgers, they're going to keep me on around here, and I'm going to need a guy. Rodgers has been through it. He theoretically, you know, will do unto Love what Favre didn't do unto him. He should be a good guy about this. Like, they have a chance. They could get a guy who should have been a top 10 pick. Why not?
Aaron Rodgers is actually older than Brett Favre was when the Packers drafted Rodgers. Wow. So this is the time.
Wow.
All right, so the second to last pick of the first round is the San Francisco 49ers. Spoiler alert, they are probably trading this pick because they don't have a second, third, or fourth round pick due to some trades, Emmanuel Sanders being one of them. But if they do stick around, there is talk of Joe Staley retiring. And even if he's not going to retire this year, it probably means it's happening soon. So they're going to put an end to the Josh Jones slide. He was a four-year starter at Houston at left tackle. Like him a lot here to the 49ers. And if they are to stick around, it would probably be to pick a guy like this.
I think the value in this pick is great. It makes sense where they are right now to maybe need this guy. Because you look at a wide receiver. I mean, look, Brandon Ayuk, I think, could be a possibility here at Arizona State if they stay. But I think the best value of staying in this spot would be to take your left tackle of the future. So I'm with you here. I like this pick. And also would make the next pick, the last pick of the first round, more interesting in my opinion. I think the Chiefs are in the market for an offensive lineman. They stay at this position. I think there's many there's a high probability they try to trade out. We know this pick can be very valuable. Let's say Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts, someone takes a slide into and they're not picked up now. We could see them trading out of this play. But I'll go with a position of need in my opinion, and there's no one. Maybe there's a cornerback out of TCU, Jeff Gladney, who might be might be drafted here, but I'm going with Caesar Ruiz, interior offensive lineman from Michigan. He's the best interior offensive lineman. It might be a stretch, a little bit of a stretch to take him right now, but you're probably not getting him at the end of the second round, and this is a position where they need to get younger and better. So I'll go Caesar Ruiz here, pick 32, world champion, Kansas City Chiefs.
Going to the right place.
He is going to. So I think, here, I'll go with Gabe. Gabe, how do you feel you did in this draft?
Well, you know, it was a rocky road for me because I was, after the third pick of the Lions, where I had an easy choice to make with Jeff Okuda, it was pretty much all nightmares for me. It was never what I was prepared for in, as a GM for any team. I got emotional with the Jets pick, and seeing all these offensive linemen go early really threw off, I think, a lot of teams' plans. The only thing that I really gained any pleasure from in this whole process was drafting Jordan Love 30th for the Packers, because I think that would be a very likely real headline for us to be scanning on Friday morning. I could easily see that being the second topic on First Take is, another Favre Rogers situation in Green Bay. Other than that, I don't think there's that many weird surprises in our mock draft. Zuri drafting a running back after Fournette leaves Jacksonville kind of stuck out to me. Tua sliding as he did sort of stuck out to me, but I don't know, Jeff, where did you see our headlines coming from this mock draft?
Well, Jordan Love to Green Bay would definitely fuel a lot of these shows for at least a month straight. I mean, Tua dropping to 9 is the surprise, in my opinion, of the draft. And the guy that was a consensus number one pick heading into the season. Now, Burrow outplayed him, but if Tua's healthy, I think the Bengals would have an interesting choice to make between Burrow and Tua. That's where I find, I think, the most interesting part of the draft. I think that Matt, your Hurts pick is interesting to New England. Matt, what's your take on our draft here?
I think, you know, I made a joke earlier about how many offensive linemen went early, but I really do think that's very possible. I think without the trades, like, it's obvious that this isn't going to be exactly what happens, but you know, I do think that there are some things that we could see that could easily happen here, like the Tua thing. I could see him sliding much further down than people realize, for the simple reason that this COVID-19 situation, doctors not being able to examine him and him. I mean, one of the big appeals with Tua is his character, his leadership, his personal dynamic. Like, you can't maybe get that over Skype the same way that you would if you put him in a, you know, room with all the coaches like they did with Baker Mayfield a few years ago in Cleveland and he just wowed everyone. I could see him sliding pretty far because I think that people are going to be feeling pretty risk averse. So I don't know if he slides out of the top 10. I think someone would move up to get him if he got all the way down to like the Cardinals pick at number 8. Yeah. But I see a lot of this playing out pretty similarly to what we have here, with the exception of Jonathan Taylor at 20.
This is why the draft is fantastic. Zuri, your first time chiming in. How we do it? I think you did good. I mean, we had one pick that was a little questionable, but we got that remedied. That's the fun part of not being live.
That's right. I had a lot of fun. I'm glad I could turn some heads and turn some ears during the draft because, you know, it's not going to go all chalk, or, you know, it doesn't always go all chalk. And I just think there's going to be a lot of wideouts that we look back to and say, wow, this is a great class for wide receivers that maybe we look to the quarterbacks first, but and then the linemen, but the wideouts are going to be great.
Hey, Jeff.
I think Daniel, yeah.
One quick question, Jeff. And this sort of dovetails off what these guys are saying with wild cards and Matt mentioning doctors. Do you think, and this is a real question, do you think that given the circumstances that all, you know, we're all human beings, that all the folks drafting are picking under, is it possible that guys who come with a certain element of risk, I mean like character risk, like just guys who are kind of acting like dummies, immature guys, will slide because right now you need people who get it. You don't want people in your organization who are going to screw up and do something stupid, put their health at risk, disobey rules, and we're adding more and more rules in society every day. Is it possible that guys who haven't proven that they get it in life are just going to slide because of that? Like, I know that's a hard thing to measure, but do you think that could have an impact this draft?
100%. I think that high character guys, guys that have full complete backgrounds on them will be drafted higher. We might not know exactly where that falls out. I mean, a guy might go in the second round, and we might think because there's, we might not know the exact reason why. But yes, I definitely think that at this time, you want guys you can obviously trust, you know, ready to play. And also, remember, with a shorter offseason, if you're drafting in the first round, you have to make sure that he's able to grasp what you're telling him and be able to play week one, knowing that you're going to have a condensed offseason. So yeah, I'm 100% agreeing with you there. I think it's going to be, it's an interesting draft. It's pretty unique. I think we made it to the end of the podcast. We did a mock draft. It went well. I feel very good about where my picks are. And look, the best part about the draft, in my opinion, and maybe you guys will disagree with me, is the unpredictability of it. And also that the NFL teams tested their technology yesterday and was a spectacular failure. It's just incredible. It's no surprise whatsoever. I will be doing recaps of the draft on my Periscope. So just go to my Twitter at Jeff Schwartz. I'll do them probably in the middle of the draft, the end of the draft. You can find all my thoughts on draft night at my Twitter at Jeff Schwartz. Looking forward to the only sporting event we've had in a long, long time, and something we prepare for months. Thank you guys for joining me today. Thank you, Gabe. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Zuri. Hope you guys enjoyed our mock draft, and we'll talk to you guys next week.